Welcome you to our service, and have one announcement that's been handed to me that we need to get on our prayer list. And this is Brother D.C. Laws. Actually, Brother D.C. is here today, and he is scheduled to have surgery on his eyes this week. As a matter of fact, he's scheduled to go into the hospital Tuesday, and he's asking a special request for our prayers. So if you will, let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Holy Father, we're so grateful that we can offer up our prayers before your throne anytime, day or night, through your Son, who's our high priest and intercessor. And we approach your throne today for your great servant, Brother D.C. Laws, who's anticipating having surgery on his eye this week. And pray, Father, for the success of that and the fact that he'll be able to continue to be able not just to see, but to read his Bible and to study and to be a bright influence for those round about him. Pray your protection upon him as he travels back and forth from Birmingham and back. And pray, Father, that all things go well. Always, Father, we pray your will be done, and may your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're in the book of Galatians, so if you'll take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And I'm not going to cover a great many verses today, just 10, verses 1 through 10. And we're on the topic and the discussion of distinctiveness. And I call this the spiritual walk of life. The entire sixth chapter of Galatians has to do now with great practical illustrations as to how to live this one gospel, Galatians chapter 1. You know, Paul said, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than which we have preached, let him be accursed. And that denotes the fact that there's only one gospel. Well, how does the impact of the one gospel, how is that manifested or demonstrated to the world through the child of God? And it's unique. When a child of God actually applies these passages in the book of Galatians, it is daylight and dark difference as far as the pictures are concerned. Now, in this particular section from verses 1 to 10, there is I guess you call it a persuasion in our brotherhood that has often used these verses to argue the fact that there are certain things that are individual responsibility and there are certain things that are congregational responsibility. And if you've never run into that, you will, particularly if you live in this county. And so there is the proper understanding of these passages, and not to deal with the issue as it's found in these particular passages as they're argued, but there are a lot of people who've never heard from a preacher. I guess the best way to know, the other side. A lot of people that were raised, as we say, or grew up in this persuasion that the church has a responsibility for certain things, and the church is never to have a responsibility in certain areas that particularly relies on the individual. Generally, that has been hammered over and over and over from generation to generation in certain circles. So I'm going to touch on this as it applies, but particularly to deal with the aspects as found in this particular passages. This section is distinctive in that it is both congregational and individual. Now, the reason I say that is because these verses are often argued to be individual responsibility only. I'm going to say that one more time. Individual responsibility only. And the way it's argued is that the pronouns are not plural in number, they are singular in number. Him, you, so forth. For example, notice the statement that is made in verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Notice, every man, singular in number, shall bear his, singular in number, own burden. Now, the way it's interpreted then is these passages in Galatians 6, particularly 1 to 10, these passages are then pressed to the degree that the church, out of the collection or the church as a collective whole, is not responsible to do this. This is individual responsibility. Now, again, if you've never run into this, I guess I would say it's a good thing you haven't run into it, but I have. And it's a very pressing matter because you run into the situation to where it is made a matter of faith as to whether it's practiced this way or not. In other words, faithfulness is based upon, this is not a church action, this is an individual action. And the church is not to do this. The church is to do certain things, but not here. Now let me just sort of illustrate from chapter 6, verse 6. Several years ago, Pam and Hannah and Daniel and I took a trip out to Washington State, out around the Seattle area, to visit our niece when she was living out there. And we worshiped with a congregation that believed this persuasion. And oddly enough, the preacher that day was preaching on this particular idea of individual responsibility only from Galatians 6, right here. Well, being me as I am, and this is a Bible class, by the way, where, you know, generally the person in the pew can ask a question to the person who's standing and teaching the class. I asked the question about verse 6 of Galatians 6 because he kept continuing hammering the idea that the fact that this is individual only, this is individual only, this is not the church's responsibility, it's individual only, okay, private and not contribution-wise. Let him, King James says, let him that is taught in the word communicate, the word there is koinonia, which means to share financially, communicate unto him, that means the person doing the communicating, him that teacheth in all good things. Okay, now if you don't learn anything from this lesson today, you learn this point right here. What that verse is talking about, technically, is paying the person who taught you the Word of God. Paul will mention it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where he talks about, if we have not sold unto you your spiritual, shall not we reap your carnal? By the way, Paul didn't take any money from Corinth because he believed that some would probably argue that he preached for money, which he didn't. So he chose not to burden the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians, he said, I robbed other churches, congregations, that I might not be burdensome to you. So he did get financial support from other congregations, like Philippi, for example. Philippians 4 would talk about the communicating that they gave, receiving and giving, so forth. If Galatians 6, verse 6, is individual only, are you listening? If this is individual only, the church cannot do this because the pronouns are singular. I'll be waiting for every one of you at the back door in the foyer. I won't be shaking your hand. I'll have my hand out this way. Because if this is individual only, what that verse teaches is let him, okay, that is taught communicate to him that did the teaching. Now, there's no doubt I'm doing the teaching here from this pulpit. And this has to do with supporting those who are doing the teaching. If the church is not to do this, number one, I just sort of tear up the check that has Bethel Church of Christ on the front of it, and I'll be waiting for each individual one of you back here at the back doors to individually support the preacher. Now, by the way, I've never seen that done. I have known people to actually give certain things to preachers and gospel meetings and so forth. But I've generally seen people who do the preaching to get a check out of the church treasury, haven't you? Isn't that the way gospel meeting preachers are paid? That's generally the way I've been supported in gospel effort works or one-time speaking events or so forth like that. Listen to me very carefully. A person can so press a point to the absurdity of what the Bible never taught. Never taught. Now, question. Can an individual give to someone teaching a class or preaching in a sermon? Is it sinful for you to... Anything sinful about that. As a matter of fact, I've done that individually to gospel preachers. And likely you have too. But is there anything sinful about being supported out of the church treasury? Matter of fact, that's not sinful either. Paul said, I robbed other churches that might not be burdensome to you. So here's what happens. What happens is this doctrine so presses a person to argue a case that they get caught in the middle of trying to uphold this. Now, the problem is not, listen very carefully, the problem is not whether an individual does something or not. Who would object to individuals supporting good works, individuals doing spiritual things? No one would object to that. The problem is, by telling people that you cannot do this out of the church treasury, or you'll be lost. I'm going to tell you, that has been pressed. I'm going to tell you, friend, that has been pressed in this county, Limestone County, Alabama. There are people still alive in this audience today who remember, by the way, it wouldn't be me because I was born in 1957. There are people in this audience today who can remember when every congregation of our people in Limestone County cooperated. I could probably mention Sister Marjorie Donovan, Brother Hugh Pepper, just go around this county. You can remember that. That it was nothing for every congregation in this county to announce each other's gospel meetings, vacation, and support it. Okay? Radio programs right and left. Let me tell you something. That's a thing of the past in this county. And there are generations that are arising right now who are scratching their head and shaking their heads and want to know what in the world is going on. When this issue was white hot, and I mean it was at its fervent in controversy and in argumentation and so forth, it generally was around the 1940s and the 1950s. We're 2014, right? Roughly, we're almost three generations in this county from this issue right here. There's a generation that's sort of dying out. They're getting to the point to where when they were young, or when they were, as we say, in the prime of life, they remember this very, very vividly. But now we call those the old gray beards, is the old expression. And then here's kids, here's teenagers here, babes in arms of mothers around this audience. They don't have a clue what's going on. Well, friend, let me tell you something. I do know what's going on. And the reason I do know what's going on is because I have been in the middle of this battle for the Bethel Church of Christ. I know the arguments. And I know the holes in all these arguments because I've had to learn them. Brother Bill Irby and I have, I guess, been the preachers in Limestone County longer than anybody. Bill Irby told me one day, actually not long ago, he said, every preacher ought to preach at least one time in Limestone County. He says, you want to get a real flavor of something? Just come preach in Limestone County. Bill's from Virginia, actually, around Richmond. So he wasn't born and raised in Alabama, much less Limestone County. Matter of fact, I wasn't born and raised in Limestone County. But it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long in certain circles in this county. Matter of fact, they're pretty strong in this county. By the way, we're the exception to the rule. Did y'all know that? Bethel Church of Christ. We are the exception to the rule in Limestone County of Churches of Christ. Because most in this county, and in certain sections around this county, we are in error when it comes to the use of the church treasury. And Galatians 6, 1 to 10 is the hotbed section. For example, let's look at verse 1 for a second. Stay on this slide right here. This is congregation and individual both. Brethren. Is that singular or plural, guys? Brethren. Is that singular or plural? It's plural, isn't it? More than one. Brethren. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye, is that singular or plural? Ye. Ye is plural. Okay? Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Is that singular or plural? Thyself. That's singular. That's singular, isn't it? Come on, think with me. This is a Bible study. It's singular, right? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Thou, is that singular or plural? Thou, T-H-O-U. That's singular, isn't it? Do you see in this verse that plural and singular are used interchangeably? Come on, shake or nod. I don't need y'all to go to sleep. Do you see these terms are used interchangeably? Plural, singular. By the way, I just give you one major thing of the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians is not a letter by Paul written to an individual. Did you know that? The book of Galatians is not like writing to Timothy or Titus or Philemon. Those are individuals, right? The book of Galatians is written to the churches of Galatia. That, in essence, would be like saying the churches in Alabama. You understand, right? Galatia is a region of Turkey that Paul worked in the first missionary journey. There were several congregations in the region of Galatia. So, whatever Paul wrote in the book of Galatians, while it obviously applies individually, it applied to every congregation throughout the region of Galatia. Y'all get that, right? That is so simple for you to understand, isn't it? Then why on earth does anybody argue that a congregation cannot do these verses? That's ludicrous, folks. Brethren, plural, all brethren, if any of man be overtaken in the fault, ye, that's plural, all of us, ye which are spiritual, restore. By the way, that's the verb to ye. Ye restore. Question. Can the church do what Galatians 6 and 1 says? I'm not asking you, can you individually do that? If the invitation song were sung and a member of the church who's wayward were to respond to be restored to their first love, could I restore them as an individual? You better believe I could. As a matter of fact, that's what I'm supposed to do. Well, let me ask you a question. Can the whole congregation at Bethel do the same thing? By the way, is not the whole church to do that? Come on, shake or nod. Is not the whole church to do this? No, just individuals are to do it. No, folks, the whole church is to restore someone who's erring, who wants to come back home. You get that, right? So don't argue with me and don't make the argument that this is individual only. Don't make that argument, particularly to divide the church over it. That's where the issue is right there, to divide the church over it. Okay? So let's go now. There are five specific areas here, and I'll just touch on them because this is sort of hitting the high points. Verses 1 to 5 actually are one section, and it has to do with bearing the struggles of other people. For example, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Notice, one another. I know that you can do that individual. Cannot the whole church bear the burdens of others? For example, here's an announcement given to me just a few minutes before I got in this pulpit about Brother Laws. Okay, do you think D.C. Laws got anything out of us having a public prayer for his surgery? Are we bearing the burden of Brother D.C. Laws? And I want you, if somebody's praying for you, if the whole church is praying for you, are they helping you bear your burden? You better believe they are. Now let me ask you a question. Can any of us actually do the surgery on Brother Laws? No, there's a specialist that's going to do that. And is there a sense in which we can take away the burden Brother Laws has got? No, he must bear his own burden, verse 5. But can we help him bear the burden? Yes. You do that in many ways. Oh no, but I can only do that individual. The church can't do that collectively. Who in this room believes that doctrine? Who in their right mind would believe that the church could not bear the burden of any individual that had a burden in this room or outside this room? Verse 3, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Oh, I know those are all singular, but he's not writing to an individual. He's writing to the churches of Galatia. By the way, how do congregations apply certain things that have to do with single individuals like your brother D.C. Laws? Each one of you. You what? You plural. I can't tell you how many times that phrase is mentioned in the New Testament. Over and over and over. Hekistos is the Greek word. It means this section by which each and every one collectively does this. The idea that you argue individual only cannot be done by the church is nonsense as you read down through these verses, isn't it? Come on, y'all got to see this. Shake or nod. I'm talking to the young people here because this is where y'all are going to have to struggle. Okay? Note the next line. But every man shall prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Do you see how easy it is for someone to argue individual only here? But the fact of the matter is, we are individually to do the spiritual work. Listen, the Bethel Church of Christ by yourself can't get me to heaven if I don't do anything. Don't I have to do something? And by the way, if some in the Bethel Church of Christ don't do something, does that mean I'm going to lose my soul because the whole church is unfaithful or a part's unfaithful? No. How are we judged? Every man is judged according to what? His own works. And what Romans 14:12 says? So everyone shall give account of himself to God, Romans 14:12. Okay? So the point being what? Then verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. Distinctive Christianity says, and to get off this issue and come back to this point, different point by the way. Distinctive Christianity says this, folks. If you leave the faith, if you become immoral, if you do whatever that causes you or leads you to leave Christ, but you're here today and you want to come back home, you want to be restored to your first love? Let me tell you something. We've been praying for you. And we will welcome you with open arms. Because see, that's what the church does that the world won't do. How many of you have ever been forgiven by the world? You've been forgiven by the world. By the way, what do I mean by forgiven by the world? That means if you forgave me, you're never going to bring that up again. How many of you have ever had anybody out here in the world say, okay, I'm sorry, we'll let bygones be bygones, and down the road they bring the exact same thing up back up to you? Well, I thought you forgave me. Oh, I did, but what? Listen. The Bible says of God, when you are forgiven, your sins and your iniquities, I remember no more. Now, that's how God the Father treats us. Pray tell me how we treat one another. If we're children of God, we treat each other like our Father treats us. If you want to be restored, we who are spiritual will restore you. In the spirit of meekness, gentleness, considering ourselves, by the way, because we're not perfect, we're not faultless, lest we also be tempted. We will help you bear your burdens. Now, you've got a responsibility you've got to bear yourself. And we're not going to be conceited and deceive our hearts and think that we're something when we're nothing. But we're here to help you. In psychology, when I was studying psychology at Fried Hardman, in my minor, one of the things they talked about was group therapy. I don't know if you've ever had group therapy in a psychology situation. But what it means is if you've got a personal problem, whether it is chemical dependent or emotional or mental or whatever the case might be, they put you in a group with a leader, I guess it would be the trained professional. And this person basically gets the conversation started and each person sort of, as we say, vents or gets their frustrations out or talks about their situation. And it's like they use the word cathartic, healing. to be able to talk, that everybody has the same issue or similar issue. And so it's called group therapy. Like you think, I'm the only one in the world battling this. Oh, no, that's not true. Do you know what God's group therapy is? You mean tell me God has a group therapy session like psychologists? Matter of fact, God invented it. It's called the church. By the way, everybody in here has a burden. Some of us have different kinds of burdens. And each one of us helps bear one another's burdens. That doesn't mean you can take my burden away from me. It means you can help me bear it. But that's what the church is for. I've never understood when people have deep spiritual problems that they want to run from the church. I've never understood that. Do you know who you need to be running toward when you have problems? It's the church. That's who you run toward. If I were to ask you to raise your hand, if you've ever had anybody in the church ever help you through a very, very deep spiritual problem, I guarantee you hands would come up all around this room. For example, anybody ever sat with a family member of yours that was deathly sick? I can name you names of people in this room who stayed with my mother and Phyllis's mother while she was dying. Members of this congregation. Multitudes of cards from this church, this congregation, go out to I don't know how many numbers of people's names on a weekly basis, don't they? Weekly basis. When I visit the nursing home folks, those cards are posted on their bulletin boards in their rooms. I walk in, they say, oh, I just got a card from Bethel the other day, and they show it to me. Let me tell you something, folks. These people in these nursing homes, if you're signing these cards and your visitation teams to send them, they're not throwing these cards away. You know what they're doing with these cards? They want to see that on that board and be reminded somebody thought about me. Is that bearing someone's burden? You better believe it is. That's what the church is about. If any organization in the world should ever understand how to help people who are down, it's the church, isn't it? You don't need some government program to figure that out. It's the church, isn't it? Let's go to verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth all good things. Here's a person who's willing to share in the word. Okay? The very idea that here's this tornado victims that are out here in Limestone County. By the way, we've been the recipient of a lot of good funding and prayers and so forth, right? Several years ago, 2011. You think those people out there don't feel the same thing we did in 2011? Sure they do. They're still picking up the pieces. Still wondering what's going to go on. Should we not sympathize with what's going on there? Or like a Hurricane Katrina or whatever? Well, I said, well, I've never had, an F5 tornado just drop its bomb right on top of my house. Well, maybe not. But let me tell you something. As a child of God, am I to suffer with those that suffer? 1 Corinthians 12 says that's what I'm to do. I'm to feel for you. Here's a parent that comes and talks to me about their child, if their child is beginning to lose their faith or whatever. What am I supposed to do? Well, I got problems of my own. Don't dump all your burdens on me. What's a child of God supposed to do? I'm supposed to suffer with them that suffer. I'm supposed to try to do whatever I can to help. And understand if I can't, to say I can't. And by the way, I have been more than abundantly blessed financially of this congregation for the years that Pam and I have been living here. As a matter of fact, this congregation, when we first moved from Neil to Bethel, allowed Pam to be able to stay home with our children, so that a stay-at-home mom could stay at home with her children until they started school financially. That would not have been true if we had still been living at Neil. That would not have been true. She would have had to have worked almost from the time every one of our children were born. By the way, they can't financially handle it now, I'm told. But I do know some congregations, by the way, that'll starve preachers to death. I'll tell you that right up front. And that's a downright shame. By the way, we're not getting super wealthy off churches. Trust me, we're not. We're just asking to be able to securely and not have it on our mind all the time to be able to take care of our families. That's all we're asking. And I think there are congregations that need to be educated on how to take care of preachers and their families. Because that's not necessarily something preachers often preach about, is it? Lest what? Lest what? Floyd's down here smiling. Pat is too. Lest what? Then it'll sound like the preacher's preaching for more money. Isn't that right? But folks, people don't know what they've not been taught. And Paul taught the Galatian brethren, support the person who's teaching you the gospel. Support him. Enable him to be able to do that. Next set of verses, 7 to 9. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that should also reap. He that sows the flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. He that sows the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Actually, this is 2 points. There's a behavior, there's a distinctive behavior of a child of God. I'm going to bear the burdens of others, even if they're overtaken in a fault. I'm going to make sure that I'm helping to share in the gospel's work and the spread of it. And I'm going to make sure that I don't deceive my heart in thinking that I can live like the world and reap heaven. It just don't work that way. As a matter of fact, that is the ultimate deception. If I am going to have the promise of life that now is and that which is to come, that's godliness. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. I cannot think that I will fool God. Now, I might fool man, but I'll never fool God. I must live to what the Holy Spirit in the Bible says, to reap what the Bible says you reap. But if I reap to the philosophy of the flesh, the way the world lives, I should never expect any spiritual benefits from God. Why? Because all spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1 verse 3, are where? All spiritual blessings are where? In Christ. In Christ. Now, last of all, I am to make sure that I am benevolent and the church is benevolent to all. A-double-L. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. There is no question. Listen to me very, very carefully. There is no question. All men here includes non-Christians. Shake or nod. There is no question. All men includes non-Christians. This verse, listen, this verse in and of itself condemns the controversy that's in this county. Right here. If I were to even make the argument that would be made from Galatians 6, 1 to 10, as we, is that singular or plural? Come on, go back to English grammar. We, is that singular or plural? In grammar, that is first person plural. As we have opportunity, let us, is that singular or plural? Us. In grammar, that is plural. Then pray tell me, based upon that kind of reasoning, can the church not do Galatians 6:10? Come on, guys, it's in the plural. It's in the plural. We're going to argue singular and plural. It's in the plural. I actually read a written debate one time of an individual arguing that the church can't do Galatians 6:10, and when he was shown what I'm showing, the person took the verse and said, the next time he got on the platform, that verse has nothing to do with benevolence. Do good unto all men, especially those of the house. That verse has nothing to do with benevolence whatsoever. How many of you believe that has nothing to do with benevolence? That's ludicrous. Why would a person argue that this verse has nothing to do with benevolence? Here's why a person would argue that. Because they know it does have to do with benevolence. That's why they kept arguing it's individual responsibility only. Come on, shake or nod. Isn't it argued individual responsibility only? Why argue individual responsibility only if it has nothing to do with benevolence? Because, folks, it does have to do with benevolence. And then when you show them, since it has to do with benevolence, and it is in the plural, and therefore the church can do it, then the church better be doing it. I'm going to give you some information here of the Bethel Church of Christ. About 10, 15 years ago, I was told by a person in this county that I am the ugliest preacher in this county in attitude and disposition. Y'all didn't probably know that, but some of you do. Because you see, listen, I don't line up with the position. I don't line up with it. There's a good reason why I don't line up with that position. You understand why I don't line up with that position? Because that position is wrong. I not only am to help those of the household of faith, I am to help all men. Out of my pocket and out of that collection. It is not either or. It is both and. Y'all got that, right? Then you get out here in this county and you teach people that. And by the way, take all the Pepto-Bismol and all the antacids because you're going to need it. And you're going to need Advil for all the headaches you're going to get too. Listen, there is a whole segment of people in this county who've only been taught one side. One side. And they have not heard what I preached today. God forbid. Lord have mercy on us. Very idea, the very spirit of Christianity teaches we're to help our neighbors ourselves. Somebody would turn around and say that I couldn't take money out of the church treasury to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Not too awful long ago, by the way, this is before we were in the old building, there was a lady who was needing some benevolent help. And she was in the city of Athens, Alabama. And she went to a congregation in town asking for help. The person at the building told her it would be a sin. It would be a sin for us to help you. But there's a church out in East Limestone that probably will. So go out to the Bethel Church of Christ. When that individual came to the door, I was at the building. The first statement that came out of the woman's mouth, do you folks help people in need? I said, ma'am, if you're in need, sure, we'll help you. And then she relayed to me what she was told in town that I just told you. And people in this county wonder why nobody wants to be a member. Churches of Christ. I don't wonder, do you help me, please, help me deal with this? Because it is a major issue in this county. Major. And not just here, folks. Brother Bob McAnally is here today. It's in Central Florida, out of Lakeland, Florida. Temple Terrace. Anybody in this town ever heard of Temple Terrace, Florida? Outside of Tampa? By the way, Athens Bible School, pretty much feeds Florida College at Temple Terrace, Florida. Pam and I had two children to go through Athens Bible School. Trust me, I do know what I'm talking about. I do know. But folks, the Bible's still the Bible. Regardless of whether people want to follow it or not, or whether they want to make issues that God didn't make of it, the Bible's still the Bible. And yes, I guess I'll still maintain my reputation as the ugliest preacher in Limestone County. But prove me wrong. By the way, this sermon is on the internet, and they can all listen to it if they want to hear it. It is now on the internet. God help us not to draw lines or make issues where God didn't make them. Be distinctive people, yes. No doubt, no question. But do the Lord's work individually and congregationally. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, you need to become one. You're missing out on life now, life to come. Tim and Larry and I are here to encourage you. If you're subject to heaven's invitation while this song is being sung, while Scott leads in the song, if you need to be baptized, we're here to assist you. You need to come back to your first love. Will you come? Go out together. Stand and sing.